Well, I'm convinced this morning that we have a cause worth fighting for. Yes. We serve a Lord that is worth our service. I appreciate the service so far this morning. And I'm thinking, too, that this morning we have a choice before us. We have a choice on what it is we're going to build in life. And we're making that choice. It's not a choice that's way out ahead of us. We're making that choice today. And specifically, I'm thinking about, in conjunction with that, the responsibility that we have to those around us and to the generation coming on. Yes. It's a very important responsibility that we have. And I'd like to set the foundation for this morning in this 11th chapter of Genesis. This is a story that I'm sure we're all familiar with. We used to read these stories. The little Bible storybooks probably had some pretty vivid pictures. This is the story of the Tower of Babel. It said, "And the whole earth was one of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Did you catch what was said in verse 4? Did you catch how it was written and what it was that they said? And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name." Yeah. Did you catch that? Do you see any problem with that? Any issues with their priorities or their focus? Some problems with that, isn't there? I thought about the parable in the 12th chapter of Luke, and I believe it starts in the 15th verse. I'm not going to get all of this exactly right, but I'm going to summarize it. It said, "And take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And it said, he thought within himself, 'What must I do with all these goods? I don't have toward to bestow all of my goods. I don't have room for them.' So he said, 'This will I do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my goods. And then I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast laid up goods for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' Ah, but then there was a verse that followed that. It said, 'And then the Lord said,'" the first time I heard about the Lord now in this parable, first time he came on the scene. "And the Lord said," remember what he said? "Thou fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So is he what? He's a fool. That's what he was. That's what. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What is it? He's a fool. Why? Because the Lord was left out of all of the plans, all of the purposes. It looked like so much was going right. It looked like a grand thing out there was taking place. Barns couldn't take care of it. Here, this people that we read about here, they gave no consideration to what the purpose of the Lord had for them in life. They were consumed with what they wanted to build. They were consumed with building something. It said, build us a city. We talked a little bit this morning or heard this morning about what are we going to build? Are you going to build a sanctuary that the Lord is pleased to dwell in? Is that what your purpose is? Or is your purpose to build you something that can identify you by? How are you identified? How do you identify yourself today? Think about that sometimes. Did you know that, here's a little secret, did you know that other people identify you by something? Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought, wonder what other people, when they think of me, what do they think? What do they identify me with? You know, some people you never seen without a fishing pole in their hand, and they like nothing wrong with fishing. I like fishing. I go fishing. Some people are taken with fishing. When you hear their name, you think about fishing. Some people are really good with their hands, and they can build all sorts of things. And when you think about them, you think of their skill in the shop. And there's probably things that we might think about each other. But when the day is done and you really identify something with somebody, don't you want to be identified as somebody who has given your life to a higher cause? Somebody that has thought about, Lord, what is it that you want for me in life? Lord, what is your purpose for me? Lord, you're the creator. I'm the created. Lord, what is it that you want for me in life? See, here's the thing. In the fifth verse, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that was built. Did you know that the Lord comes down and checks things out? You can build whatever you want, call it whatever you want, spend your time, but here's the thing. The Lord will come down, show up on the job site and say, hey guys, what's going on? What do we got? What do we got going here? What are you building? Shows up on the scene and says, Hey, what are you guys watching? What's going on? What's this? Shows up, says, hey, where are you guys going? Can I go with you? Shows up and says, hey, what's your life all about? Where's your priority? I said, what's this? This tower right here. Wow, that took a lot of time and effort. Looks like you're trying to establish your identity around this tower. What is it all about? That's the reality of it, y'all. See? The Lord is going to do that and does that with all of us. He comes down and He takes stock to see what's going on, to see what we're building. And the Lord saw a people with a common objective and a path, and they had a will is to get there, and their objectives were fueled by what? Their imagination. That's what it says. Their imagination. It was fueled by their own imagination on, it wasn't necessarily founded on truth. And the Word of God, and Lord, what is your purpose for me in life? Lord, this is serious. My life is but a hand's breadth. It's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, and then eternity comes after it. So Lord, given that you've given me a little bit of time on this earth, Lord, what do you want from me? What's my purpose here? I could spend all my time building a tower that identifies me with everybody else in the land all around me. But what about the one that I'm going to meet at the judgment? How will I be identified with you? Lord, I have a little bit of time. And these people right here had a desire to be unified in their identity and their purpose, and they completely missed out upon who they should have been identified with, what they should have unified around. They missed it. They were building something that was outside of what God was really pleased with. And we found here, things didn't go real well for them, did it? And I wonder today, what are we building? What are you building? I know we live in life. I know that in life, we work, we have cares of life. God designed it that way. We go places, we enjoy things, we go to our jobs. But how do we go to our jobs? What is our purpose when we go to on the job site? Is our purpose, Lord, I want to live for you today. I'm getting ready to go to work, but Lord, I want to live for you. And I want to do my job in a way that others' eyes would be turned towards you. And Lord, the path of the decisions that I'm making and the path that I'm taking in life, Lord, when I get to the end of the day and when I get to the end of the month and the year and I get to the end of my life, Lord, I want to be identified as a child of God, as a follower of God. And this world can so quickly draw us in and consume our time and our heart and our energy and tie us up. And then the days click by and the weeks click by and the years click by. And pretty soon, if we're not very careful, we can be identified by this tower that we're building. And people say, well, what do you think is the most important thing in life? Well, the most important thing in life is to serve God. Yes, that sounds right, but what is this? And how are they connected? And if we're not careful, a lot of times we can have a head knowledge of what's most important, and yet our lives and the fruit of our life, we're building something that it's not consistent with what the will of the Lord is in our life. And so I want to be challenged by that. And I want to be identified with the Lord. I don't want to live my life so that I set a bad example for those that are watching my life. And for those that are following after me. The world is unifying against truth today. You know that? And it's blurring the lines so badly that I fear for our children coming on. I know generations, people can say, well, that's what every generation has thought. And they probably have. Probably had reason to. But we are speeding towards the end times. And things are continuing to get worse. And here's the thing that is starting to become strikingly clear and disturbing that hasn't always been like this in the past. We are arriving in those days where we call good evil and evil good, as opposed to even in our parents' lives. Sister Evelyn, some of these that have been older, back in the days where, hey, people didn't live right, they knew they weren't living right. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing this. This isn't godly. It's not Christ-like. It's not right. But today, you can live kind of how you want, and it can be called right and holy and righteous. We can build big towers and have devotions and altars, and at the bottom of it we can put a little plate that says I'm a Christian. But it's not Christian like. And this is the world is blurring these lines and throwing in a little tablespoon of truth with a whole bunch of things that are not truth and unrighteous. And then we bring up children in the world that where we have lines that are blurred, where people promote tolerance and love, which there's something in the scriptures that talk about tolerance and love. And there's something right about that. And there's something good about that. But the same people that will promote tolerance and love as a moral law are the same people that will promote the taking of babies' lives by the multiplied thousands. How does it match up? We live in a time right now where it's interesting. I didn't see this coming. We're living in a time where people that are in high places in this world are being brought down quickly because we have a movement in the world that is calling out harassment and abuse in ways that it hasn't before, and it's taking people down. And but here's the thing that disturbs me. I believe that there should be judgment against that. It's wrong what many people have done in invading the space of others and treating people in morally corrupt ways. But you know what also disturbs me? The same people that speak out so vehemently against that are the same people that will go and participate in making movies doing the same things. Doing the same things that they so stridently, vehemently oppose and suggest that it's beyond the pale. But then they'll turn around and act out, sometimes physically act out, the same exact things that they're saying is wrong. Why? Because they sell it for entertainment. And so it's okay to bring it into our homes and watch it and pay money for it for entertainment, as long as we have the line that don't do it and mean it. You can do it for entertainment, but don't do it and mean it. You see the problem? And we have children that are growing up in this world where the lines of truth and right and wrong are getting blurred and mixed and matched. And devotions and towers are being built up that people are rallying around and saying, this is how we want to be identified. This is what's going to be truth. And there's a movement to promote it, to draw people in and accept it and sign your name at the bottom of it. That you're a part of it too. Truth, moral truth, transcends time. It doesn't change with time. God's truth doesn't change. Somebody was saying the other day at work, they were relating a line that they'd heard on a show. And a daughter was in the house with her dad in the kitchen and used some inappropriate language in the house, and the dad got on to her about using that kind of language. And she said, "Oh, Dad, It's the 2000s. And he said, "Look out that window right there." She looked out the window. And he said, "Out there it's the 2000s. In here it's the 1900s. You know, there are some things. It might change out there. It might be accepted out there. But in this house right here, there's some truths that aren't going to change. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." What are we going to do today? In the fifth verse where it said the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that was built. What level of participation will the Lord find us with the city and the tower that's being built? What will He find me engaged with? Passively or not passively? See, we have a choice today, and we have a responsibility, a great responsibility before us. We have children coming on that are growing up in a world where these lines are getting blurred and where these towers and these devotions are being built, and the Lord continues to come down and to look around and say, "Well, what's going on here? Where does He find you? Where does He find me? What's my level of participation and engagement? What am I willing to let go and be built and sit quietly by? Or am I going to be willing to see these things and stand up and say, 'No, I am not supportive of that. I'm not going to let that come into my house.' Whether you call it entertainment or make-believe, I'm not going to have that in my house, blurring the lines between what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to keep my house clean and clear. And I don't want my children growing up watching and seeing and or hearing me stay silent and remain silent while they go out in the world and see all of these things that are going on. Folks, we're seeing things. The scripture here said, the Lord said, nothing will be restrained from them. It seems like we're seeing things today that were unthought of 15 or 20 years ago. In my lifetime, why are we asking little children how they identify themselves as, male or female? What? No restraint. Things are getting out of control. The Lord already identified what that was. We're confused about what bathroom we're supposed to go in. You see, the reason I bring these things up, because this scripture, the Lord said, their imagination is going and nothing's going to be restrained from them anymore. And we're living in a time and in a world where these things are starting to crop up and be accepted as, this is tolerance, this is good, this is, we're trying to leave you room and give decisions to people that they don't have decision rights in. And it's disturbing. But we have a responsibility then to do something about that. I don't want to sit idly by, passively by. Just say, well, that's just the way it is. I want my children to know that's not right. Yes. Dad, this is the 2000s. Everybody thinks that way. Let everybody think that way. That's not right. And here's why it's not right. Because in the book of such and such, in chapter here and verse here, the word of the Lord says this. And when you turn over here, the word of the Lord says this. And when you go over to this verse, it says this. It's not right. Founded upon the word of the Lord. And I'm willing to stand up if I'm the last man standing. We want to be there. Remember what the three Hebrew children said. The three Hebrew children said, we're not careful to answer you in this thing. Yes, we know there's a fiery furnace. We understand that we may run into some trouble if we go this way. But this thing that you've built up, that everybody's rallying around and bowing down to, we're not going to do that. We're not going there. We're not careful to answer you in this thing. We are going to stay true to the living God, regardless of what happens. Amen. Where are we today? Are we willing to go there? Or are we allowing the world to draw us? They keep moving and we keep moving. And we have a false sense of security because we're still behind where they are. And yet we're still moving. When truth is way over there. You see the diligence that it takes? The purpose that it takes? The Lord, I want to serve you more than anything else. I'm not going to use the world as my yardstick. I'm going to use the word of the Lord. And I'm not going to sit idly by as this sin takes place. In this case, the Lord scattered the people. In the case of Noah, he destroyed the earth. And the Lord's going to come back again. And he's going to destroy the earth again. And when he comes back, I want to be found identified with Jesus Christ. So what's our responsibility in all this? I want to end in Judges. The second chapter of Judges. In the second chapter of Judges, an angel had come to Israel and said in the second verse, and ye shall make no league. Listen to these verses when I read through here. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? See, the Lord showed up there with them. You were supposed to throw this down. You haven't. You made a league with the inhabitants of the land. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they will be as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare unto you. Now, follow these verses closely. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Joshua held the Lord up. Joshua proclaimed God for being God. He held the people accountable to living for the Lord. And it said all the days of Joshua, the people served the Lord. And all of the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. I want you to pick up on the trend that's going on here. They served the Lord under Joshua. They served the Lord under the elders that outlived Joshua. And then it went ahead and it said who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now listen. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Why? Why was there another generation that came along that didn't know about any of this? What happened? Joshua died. The elders died. The generation passed, and there was a generation that came on while there was still this other generation that knew the great works of the Lord, had the truth, but something happened, and another generation came, and it said they didn't know the works which were done in Israel, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed after other gods. Folks, don't make leagues with the inhabitants of the land. We're the minority. That's okay. We were told it was going to be that way. We work among the inhabitants of the land. We live among the inhabitants of the land. We shop where they shop. We work in places where they work. We drive on the roads that they drive on. They're all around us. Don't make a league with the inhabitants of the land. Because you know what will happen when you do? You'll start serving their gods. And you might know all about the Lord God. You might know what He is because of how you've been taught. But when your children start growing up and they accompany you and hold your hand as you go out among the inhabitants of the land and they don't see you making a separation between yourself and the inhabitants of the land, even though in your mind you think differently than the inhabitants of the land, even though you might be participating in some of what they're participating in, you were raised different, you were taught different. And somehow, sometimes, I think this is a trick of the enemy. He somehow thinks that we think that our children, by osmosis or something, are going to also think the way that we think. But that is not the way it works. They are going to think and their thoughts are going to be formed according to what they see you do and how you live and according to whether you take a stand against the inhabitants of the land and how you identify yourself. And they're going to think about God in a manner that is consistent with how you communicate about God and tell your children about the great works of God. And He's the God of heaven and He's the God of the earth and He's worthy to be served and it's okay to sacrifice. It's necessary to sacrifice. He has a cause greater than the inhabitants of the land that's around us trying to tell us what our cause ought to be, which most of the time is yourself. Lift yourself up as a god, as a tower. Live for yourself. Do what pleases you. Make decisions that help you get further down the road. May not be the cause of God. He should be our cause. And our children are taking all that in. They come into our homes, and what they see in our homes influences them. Why would you bring something in your home that influences your children that's completely contrary? You have to be careful about that. And we live in a time that it's becoming increasingly difficult to manage these things. The internet being one of them. It's a tool. We use the internet. I have the internet. But I want to tell you something. It has done far more damage than the television ever did. We need to be careful. Make good choices. This is kind of an aside, but young parents, as your children are growing up, don't let your children have computers in their rooms. Put the thing out in the dining room. Have some rules. Don't be moved when your child comes home and says, "Dad, everybody at school is able to do whatever they want on their phone." I've been there. I know what that feels like. You know, you start feeling like you're the... Stay true. Stay strong. Protect your children. Use it as an opportunity to teach. You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there that fuels our imagination. Lots of things on the internet. It's not just one thing. There's lots of things that we can just consume our time with. And all the while, the Word of the Lord sits over here kind of boring. The Bible collecting dust because there's all this time that can be spent doing other things. It's just one thing. It's an example. I don't want to harp on that. But I want to say that be careful what you put in your home. Think about what your children are seeing in your life and what you imbibe. And the altar of prayer that you establish. You want your children to grow up hearing a consistent message that is contrary to the inhabitants of the land. That's our responsibility. So I'm going to wrap up with this. God has given us this wonderful opportunity to be part of something that is so special. And that is to build this wonderful, beautiful structure, tower for Jesus Christ. Lord, I want you to take my life. Lord, I want it to be formed and built so that you're pleased with it. And what is better than the Lord coming down and walking around and saying, "Hey, just thought I'd pay you a visit today. I know it's unexpected and I didn't tell you I was going to come down, but what's this right here? Wow, that, bless your heart, that is well done. Well done, my child. This is good. Wow, that's a lot of big towers. Oh, that's so sad and disappointing. But you've done it. Stay true. Keep the faith. Keep doing this. There's a great reward for this. This is wonderful. My blessings are upon you." What gets any better than that? When the Lord comes down and says, "Hey, Rod, where are you at?" "Lord, I'm over here. I'm working." "Well, what are you working on?" "Well, Lord, I'm trying to... Lord, I felt the dealings of your spirit last night, and I'm working on this thing over here." "Oh, that's good. You know, if you do this over here, work a little." "Oh, thank you, Lord." And then you get to the end of the way, and you're identified with the Lord and the Savior, the one that's going to be our judge. Why would you want to do anything else? Why would you want to live any other way? Why would you want to be a part of the league of people that are building these structures out of stone and slime? Wasn't my words, that's what I read. They use slime for mortar. Why would you want to be a part of that? A structure that's going to all go away and burn up. When you could be part of something so much better. A cause that transcends all the little things that the inhabitants of this land presents as the most important thing that ever came along. And we start believing it when we start focusing on it. The scripture in Chronicles said, "The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the whole earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect towards Him, that He might give them strength and grace." I can't remember exactly how it went. I want to be part of that number. When the Lord's eyes go to and fro over the face of the whole earth, I want Him to see and find me over there building something that He can show Him. That's what it said. That He may show Himself strong on their behalf. And here's the other thing. I want my children to be in that number. I want my children to be in that number. And you and I have a responsibility for our children. That if you want your children to be one of the ones that when the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the face of the whole earth, and He'll see your child and your grandchild down there, you want to do everything you can to make sure that the eyes of the Lord stops and says, "Oh, I want to show myself strong on their behalf. I know the Lord's faithful to people regardless of you know, what I do, I don't think people are going to maybe go to hell because I failed. But I want to tell you this. We have a responsibility. And in one place, the Lord said, people that do wrong because they were taught wrong and didn't know any better, their stripes will be few. But there were stripes. There were stripes. But he said, your stripes will be many. You see the responsibility that you have? Those of us that are here today have been given many talents of truth. You know the parable of the talents? We've been given many talents of truth. And the Lord expects us to use the talents that he's given us and give them, pass them to your children. Be diligent. We have a responsibility for it. And I want to be true with that responsibility. And I want you to be true. Let's be encouraged. We can build something that is part of the greatest thing that was ever conceived. That will last through eternity. And I want to be there. Pray for me. Amen.